Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Since 2013, Bombas has donated over 100 million socks, underwear, and T-shirts to those facing homelessness. If we counted those on air, this ad would last over 1,157 days. But if we counted the time it takes to make a donation possible, it would take just a few clicks. Because every time you make a purchase, Bombas donates an item to someone who needs it.
Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Welcome back. My name is Chris.
And I'm Steve.
And Andy's not here again. And we are very sad, but we are plowing ahead because we're professionals, damn it.
Once more unto the breach, just us. It's a classic Steve and Chris mess around.
Shakespeare. We get a chance to quote that guy often. Could also be a group of guys if you know your history. But today.
Oh, that's true. Yeah. That took me a second. Like, what?
Yeah, what's he talking about? Today, we're going to be talking about Jordan Peele's newest film, Nope, which is divisive. And a lot of people use puns. And I can say, yep. I don't think we used a single yep pun in this review.
I said it at one point, but no one heard me. So
thank God. Thank goodness. We actually have a very special guest to fill the void that Andy left in this episode. And it's Sydney, an awesome creator and I would say friend, right? Friend of mine on the TikTok and the Twitter and the YouTube. That's how you pronounce YouTube, I think.
Yeah, the YouTubes.
So you can follow Sydney's work at Sydney Volpe. And I highly recommend that you do that. She's very knowledgeable and very awesome. We had a really fun conversation coming up shortly.
And she's super cool.
Yeah, super cool. Super gracious. And even though we had a little bit of technological difficulties, just plowed right through that and just consummate professionals. That's all. That's all I'm trying to say.
Yeah.
If anybody out there wants to pay me to do this, do that because I'm good at it, right? That's all I'm trying to say.
I pay you right now.
Pay me, dude.
Yeah, all right, well, okay, I'll Venmo you. Jeez. Sorry.
I'll put the gun down. But no, we had an interesting experience seeing Nope. And if any of you folks out there have watched it this weekend, you have experienced the interestingness of it. And it's very, very polarizing film. And I like that about movies when they're polarizing. Mm-hmm. It's more fun than when everybody's like, yeah.
Yeah, it definitely leads to a really good discussion when there are competing, you know, opinions about a film. Those are honestly my favorite episodes of this show is when one of us maybe is on the complete opposite end of the spectrum as the others on a film, or maybe someone falls somewhere in between the two extremes, you know?
Well,
those are always the fun ones.
Any story, you need conflict, Steve,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, conflict.
But, you know, like the Everything Everywhere All at Once movie was like the four of us gushing. Because we had a guest on that episode too. I think Sean was here.
Yeah, Sean.
So we were all four gushing about this movie, and that can be fun too. That movie in particular, there was still just a lot to talk about. But for the most part, it's definitely best if you have both sides of an opinion. I think it's best for the listener too, because no matter how they felt, because there's going to be a lot of our listeners that were like, nope. And then half of the listeners were like, yep. And so we need them. Did we just become best friends?
Yep.
And so we need both of those viewpoints. So.
Yeah, I always love it when we have an episode where we can disagree on. I love an episode where we all love something, but I'm usually like, I'm always feel bad if there's ever an episode where we all hate something.
Yeah, like, that's true.
I still feel bad about our Godzilla versus King Kong review. Like to this day, like I'm like, oh man, I went too hard on that one. I feel bad about it.
You went in.
Yeah.
You pulled zero punches.
Yeah. I feel bad about it to this day. I wake up sometimes like, God damn it.
I wake up from a dead sleep. Dang.
I hurt King Kong's feelings.
That was one of my biggest regrets in life. You're like, you're going to be the Titanic lady at the end. Like, it's been 84 years since I reviewed King Kong.
Bill Paxton's going to be like, I don't care. And I'm going to be like, why are you here? You're dead.
What's going on right now? So anyway, you can look forward to that conversation very shortly. It was awesome. She's going to be back very soon. We're already making plans. But you can also email the show. We highly recommend that you do that. It's a fun time to write those words and have us read them. You can do that at streamingthingspod@gmail.com. That's streamingthingspod@gmail.com. Don't forget to write in ideas for extra Patreon tiers and rewards. We're trying to pull from the audience of what you might be interested in.
Well, this is the first episode they'll hear of this, Chris. So like, yeah, guys, let us know. We want to expand our Patreon tier system, and we just want to go directly to the source. What do you guys want?
What do you want?
What would entice you to either become a member, stay a member, maybe upgrade your membership? You are the people we love, and the show is for you. So we just wanted to ask you before we decided, you know what they would love? A Discord.
Yeah, we have no idea what you want. Like, maybe you might want,
I don't even know what that is.
$20 a month. I would pay if you guys stepped on grapes with your bare feet and made Streaming Things wine. I would pay for that.
Chris, quit trying to steal the ideas from my OnlyFans account. I swear to God.
Sorry, buddy. I'm sorry. It's just a good idea.
That's how I make my money. My income is from Steve's feed at OnlyFans.com.
That's how we bought these microphones. Steve's wine.
Yep. Thank these nine piggies.
Mm-hmm. You can also, speaking of which, go to patreon.com/streamingthings and subscribe at a variety of tiers and get different rewards. And as we just enumerated, maybe some more rewards here soon. We're trying to expand the Patreon page. Thank you to all of the people that already subscribe and help keep the lights on and help allow us to spend a ridiculous amount of hours each week in addition to our day jobs and stuff doing this stuff, because we love it. We love movies. We love our listeners.
We love love.
We love love.
We love love.
We love Stranger Things. We'll still be talking about that periodically.
Sorry, I actually pressed the button. Sorry.
We'll be talking about that periodically still as it necessitates. But also, we're kind of gearing up into our House of the Dragon and Rings of Power coverage. So you can look forward to that next month. By the way, if there's any graphic designers out there, we're looking to design a logo that's like reminiscent of both House of the Dragon and Rings of Power. But also Streaming Things, right? Like the way that our logo now is obviously a Stranger Things logo, but you can see that it says Streaming Things, right? So I'm looking to contract, what is it, commission someone to do that. So I don't know. It just occurred to me, Steve, we might have some graphic designer listeners.
Yeah, maybe. Reach out if you're interested. Yeah, we'd love to work with you.
Yeah, that'd be awesome.
Chris, is there a contest happening?
Sort of. So you can go to, there's a little app called Q-U-E-U-E, not the other Q.
Yeah, this is this is an anonymous type of Q.
No. And this is an app that allows you, and on iOS only, I want to make that clear from jump. So if you're an Android user, just kind of zone out. Like, I assume you normally do if you use Androids. that was a joke, Steve. I don't actually care about technology preferences. But apparently the company does. It's an iOS only so far.
Tim Cook's dick, all right?
You go to the Q app and you can like put different movies and TV shows in a watch list and in a line, hence the Q. It's a lot like Letterboxd, except that, and I'm a Letterboxd guy, it has TV shows on it. So it's really handy. And also has other features like a wheel randomizer that'll pull movies from your queue and pick something to randomly watch for you.
Yeah, full disclosure, I had never heard of this app before, Chris.
It's pretty new.
He's kind of pioneering this sort of idea, and he showed me the app, and honestly, I downloaded it immediately because it does like, wow, that's like Letterboxd, but better.
It looks super handy, right?
And I love the idea where you can put things in your queue, like you tell it like, I have these streaming services, and it lets you know, oh, these are the things out, and you can put them in queues. And then if you're at home one day and you don't know what to watch, you spin that wheel and it'll be like, all right, it'll spin everything that's in your queue. Baby. It's like, oh, it's time to watch Mulholland Drive.
Blah, 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 blah.
Yeah.
And so if you follow me on that app, so it's Q-U-E-U-E, follow Movies Are Therapy, just like my TikTok, and you'll be entered to win a contest. And we'll pull a drawing from all the followers here shortly. And what we'll do is we'll allow you to pick something for us to watch and do a complete episode on. But you have to email us at streamingthingspod@gmail.com with the subject line Q, Q-U-E-U-E, and let me know that you followed me so you can be entered to win. And that's what that is, baby.
That could be a screenshot. That could be you just telling him your username so he can verify that you do follow him. But yeah, it's very important that you email us with the subject line Q-U-E-U-E.
And I would very much appreciate if you did that. I'm just trying to build a little following on Q and build a community with the listeners so that they can like recommend stuff to me. And I think that'd be really fun. So let's try that out.
Yeah. And if whoever wins, like we said, you get to dictate a whole episode of Streaming Things. Like you could say you, and it has to be a movie. We do want to preface that.
Yes.
But you can tell us to watch any movie you want us to do an episode on, and we have to do it.
Yeah. You can't be like, I want you to watch all 13 seasons of Glee or whatever. I don't know how many seasons of Glee there are, but
probably not, that many.
We're not doing that.
No, it's a movie. And it could be, as long as it's a, like a real movie, don't just be like, I'll watch my son's short film from high school. It had to get a theatrical release. It has to have an MPAA or rating. Streaming.
Yeah. Just a movie, you guys know. But if it's, you know, Zack Snyder's Justice League, that's fine.
I don't want anyone to be like, I want you guys to watch Backdoor Sluts 9. Like, no, that's not this type of show. No, so.
Yeah. Wrong show. I don't know if that show exists. Probably does.
Somewhere.
So yeah, subject line Q. I would appreciate it if you did that. And that's all the business news. You know, as usual, follow us on Twitter, Stream Think Pod, all that stuff. Google us, whatever. It's fine. And thank you so much for listening. Check out this conversation with Sydney. Well, as I said, we are here right now with Sydney, my friend from the interwebs. You might know her from YouTube. You might know her from TikTok, perhaps from Twitter, or maybe you've just seen her around. I don't know where you're from. And we're here to talk about Nope. And we've got some diverse thoughts, I think, on the film. It is polarizing from what I'm seeing on the interwebs. And I'm excited for all of you to see it and listen to our thoughts. And Sydney, how are you?
I'm doing great. I'm honored to be on Streaming Things. How are you guys?
Oh, you shouldn't be honored.
We're honored to have you.
Yeah, we're honored to have you. We got Sid the Kid on the show.
Sid the Kid.
In the flesh.
I do love all of your stuff. I've been following you for quite a while now and very astute lover of film. And I think you and Steve have a lot in common. I think your film tastes are very similar because Steve is a huge fan of like Carpenter and The Thing and those kinds of things. And I just watched The Thing for the first time a few months ago and Steve was abhorred.
Can you believe this man not watching The Thing?
Gorgeous.
I have a question for you, Sid. Sid the Kid.
Yeah.
I'm always interested when people have like little monikers like that online. I'm always interested, you know, how did you get to that moniker of Sid the Kid? Was that just something is there a story behind that? Or was it just, oh, it rhymes with my name?
Definitely just rhymes, right?
That is so interesting because I haven't been asked about that in so long. And I kind of forgot that it was my Twitter handle. And I was like, why is he calling me Sid the Kid? How does he know that?
How did he know? But I did some deep research on my guests.
Yeah. It's technically also my Letterboxd handle, but my Letterboxd handle is STK5, which just stands for Sid the Kid. No one really calls me that ever anymore, but all growing up, everyone would call me Sid the Kid, I guess just because it rhymes. I would get Sid the Squid. I think it's like a common thing for people named Sydney, but yeah, that's kind of just where it came from. That was my Twitter handle is from when I was like 12 and I just have never changed it.
Why would you? It's perfect. That's it rhymes.
12 years old. So great. 12 years old is where a lot of us come up with our best material. Let's be honest.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And apparently if I got on Twitter at 12 years old, that explained a lot.
Well, Steve's Twitter handle is Steve May 13. So yeah. Why would he change that?
And I did not make my Twitter handle when I was 12. So that shows you why.
Yeah, there's him and 12 other guys have the perfect moniker on Twitter. Why would they change it? But so if you don't know Sydney, you can definitely follow her on TikTok. What is your handle on TikTok?
It's just my name, Sydney Volpe, V-O-L-P-E. And on most places, I'm like Sydney with a rocket emoji. I don't know how accessible that is, but
that's how I found you on TikTok was the rocket ship.
Oh, okay.
Because I was originally typing.
Were you just searching rocket ship emoji?
Well, no, because you had mentioned her Twitter handle first, and I got confused and thought that was her TikTok handle. So I was searching for Sid the Kid, and there was like a ton of, and I'm like, I don't think either of these are these people. This one's just filming her dog. I mean, I love it, but. So then I learned about the rocket ship and I was like, oh, it's definitely her. This one. Boom.
Yeah. I've got to standardize. There's actually another Sydney Volpe in Boston, which is like the strangest coincidence because she's like the only other Sydney Volpe on social media. And she has the straight up Sydney Volpe tag on every social media. I'm thinking about messaging her being like, can I pay you? Because I need to standardize all my tags.
I'm an influencer, so I need the name. You're kind of screwing up the brand with your bullshit.
I'm a kindergarten teacher. Leave me alone.
No, I need the brand. But yeah, that's where you can follow Sydney's work. I'm a big fan. Yeah. I'm surprised you don't have hundreds of thousands of followers. I mean, I really enjoy your content and your thoughts, and you're a huge lover of film. And I really appreciate that because it can get, it's a dicey place talking about movies on the internet for some reason sometimes. And so I cling to the nice people that just want to love the stuff. So I appreciate what you do.
Thank you. I appreciate that. And I love your stuff too. And you've been rocketing into stardom lately, which is more than deserved.
Well, thank you. I should put the rocket emoji on my name, I guess.
You should. You have to pay me for it though.
Don't scoop her heat, man.
It's been surreal. And, but yeah, it's fun times. But we're here today to talk about Nope. And, Sydney's actually, you've seen the movie more than us, right? You saw it twice.
I saw it at like 10 a.m. this morning for the second time.
Well, we appreciate your dedication because I know that you didn't really have the greatest time the first time, at least I think. But let's talk about that. What was your experience each time? What are your overall thoughts without spoilers on Nope?
Yeah, no spoilers. Nope definitely threw me for a loop. It's kind of, I feel like when you're really into film, you hit these milestones of movies that just really, really challenge you. And Nope was a tough one for me because I've been so excited for it. I love Jordan Peele. I think Get Out is like almost perfect. I know a lot of people don't like Us, but I think it's still like a really solid thriller. And I went into Nope with admittedly high expectations. And I just had like a really bad time. And I went into full crisis mode. I like lost sleep over this.
Oh, no.
I was like, why did I not like this movie? All my friends are giving it 5 stars. And I wish I had just had a different experience. It was almost unexplainable to me. And then I saw it the second time today and I feel like I can explain it a little bit more. And as more people are seeing it, there are definitely people that share the same thoughts, but, I think Jordan Peele is a genius. I can definitely see why people think the movie is a masterpiece, but for me, I'm more in love with the idea of it than I was with the experience of it. I think that there are so many interesting things that he's getting at with like it as a sci-fi film and as a tribute to all these iconic films of the past and just like a classic alien summer blockbuster. But for me, it came together to just be like a little less than the sum of its parts. There were little moments that I really clicked with and enjoyed, but it didn't really create this all-encompassing experience that I think other people are having. How to talk about it with no spoilers, I don't know, but I definitely would encourage people to just go into it, try and have a good time. Don't go in with any expectations because I think he definitely is throwing a lot at you that like you're not going to be expecting. And he's definitely done something really interesting and really special, but it's going to be pretty divisive, I think. Mm-hmm. That's kind of my overall thoughts.
Awesome. Steve, what was your experience watching Nope?
So my experience with Nope was very positive. I actually did walk away from this movie. I enjoyed it quite a lot. As of now, I would put it in my top 5 so far of the year because I just liked it that much. But I'm also coming at it from a perspective of, you know, I'm very partial to sci-fi. I'm very partial to alien movies in particular.
Did you emphasize the fi?
Sci-fi. Yeah. Sci-fi. Similar to podcast.
Yeah, podcast, sci-fi.
I had high expectations for this movie as well because I love Get Out. I actually have not seen Us, which is a blind spot for me personally. But I really want to see it. I just haven't gotten around to it. So I was like, oh, I love Jordan Peele. He's been doing the, oh shoot, I'm blanking right now. The the sci-fi show
Twilight Zone.
Twilight Zone, yes. He's been doing Twilight Zone, so it's like, oh, this would be kind of a right up his alley type thing. Mm. And I really like the talent that's involved in the movie. And, you know, watching it, you know, what Sydney was kind of alluding to, like, there are definitely things that he throws at you that are incredibly unexpected. I remember leading up to seeing this movie, a lot of people were pretty upset at the second trailer for Nope, because they were like, oh, this spoils the whole movie. And really, it does not. There's so much that happens in the movie that I did not expect, and we'll get into what that is. And I do like how I feel like this movie has, and much like a lot of his movies do, it has a lot to say about societal issues. And I think this movie is maybe the more, I don't want to say subtle, but it's definitely like not he's not speaking to, I think, the hot button issues, similar to like how Get Out was. It was, it's a very important social commentary film, but like this movie, it definitely has a thing to say. And I sympathize with it. I engage with it because I'm kind of in that world a little bit. So I had a great time with it. Someone asked me this on Twitter, because a lot of our listeners know that I have like this weird alien phobia. That's why I like alien films so much, because it's one of the only things, like, I can go into any horror movie and I won't get scared. But if I go to an alien horror movie, then, oh my God, I'm never leaving the house. So someone reached out like, hey, I also have an alien phobia. Will this movie scare me? Because a lot of people are saying it's not very scary. It's like, no, honestly, no. I don't think it's a very scary film. It's a thrilling film. There's only one scene in the middle that, as someone with an alien phobia, even got to me. And well, I can't wait to talk about that. but yeah, so it's not super scary. It's very thrilling, and it's a very thoughtful movie, I think. But Chris, how about yourself, my friend?
I like both of you. I mean, nobody who like loves film and is like immersed in it all the time is not going to have high expectations for this film, I think. I mean, that might sound like a jackass thing to say, but you know what I mean? Like the fervor around Jordan Peele ever since Get Out, and the anticipation of this film, I feel like has been like ubiquitously high. And so I had super high expectations. Yeah. And I, like Sydney, really enjoyed Us. I found that to be a great follow-up that went in a different direction, a kind of a wider swing, a little more out there, but like, you know, like Lupita Nyong'o is incredible. The score, I mean, everybody still jams to that score, and the soundtrack to that movie. It was an indelible mark on the culture, right? It was a good follow-up, I felt like. And I've seen it, I think, two or three times just for funsies. I think it's really good. And I love Jordan Peele's tendency to kind of bring a lot of his comedic talent to bear. Mm-hmm. None of them are technically horror comedies, but they're just fun.
There's a lot of humor in them.
Yes. I was like, this movie's going to fucking rock. And Steve and I actually had a really bad experience. I talked a lot on TikTok, but when we went to AMC, we're both A-list members. We didn't get invited to any screenings or anything. So it was a Thursday night, and all of my friends had already seen it and given it high reviews, like Sydney was saying. And I was so excited for it. And I knew that we were doing this show today, so I had to watch it. And the AMC had network issues, so they couldn't, whatever that means. So they couldn't show any movies. So they were just like turning us away at the door.
Yeah, they're effectively closed.
Yeah. And Steve and I looked at each other like, what the hell? We have a lot of theaters in the area, but
that's our theater.
A tight schedule, and that was our theater. Yeah. I said schedule, ironically. I just want all the listeners to know. So we raced to another theater that is a shithole, but was the closest. And I purposely never go there because, like, I took my son to see. Yes, but like in a way that like some of the screens are dented, and like so the movie's distorted, and they just don't care. The speakers are blown, and like they use Pepsi products, like
like a trash hole.
Yeah, just a shithole. And so I go there, and they all have like off-brand different candy. You know what I mean? Like you don't get Raisinets. There's just chocolate covered raisins, and that's a small thing, but it pisses me off because they're also $9. You know?
Yeah.
Like you pick these up this isn't at the dollar store.
This isn't a dollar saver cinema. This is a legit, they charge full prices, but they have their auditoriums look like this.
Yeah. It's a national corporate theater chain. So that's what makes me so angry about it. But anyway, so we go in there, and of course, they've got this aspect ratio bullshit weirdness that like the entire screen is not being utilized by the Nope film. They don't have curtains to cover it or anything. It's just like blank screen framed around the Nope movie. That annoys me. I'm like, okay, the bulbs need changed in the screen. So it's flickering in and out. Yeah. And then the speakers are blown. So when the score crescendos, it's like, and I'm like, okay, this is awesome. I'm having a great time. But despite all of that, I feel like I'm trying to say this in a way that doesn't make me sound like an elitist, pretentious prick, but that might just be who I am and it's unavoidable. When you watch movies, like sometimes two or three movies a day, 5 or 6 days a week, and then TV shows on the off days, you know what I mean? at a certain point, you just want to be surprised. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Because you start to pick up on these familiar tropes and story beats, and they're, you love them. They're awesome. But at the same time, any kind of like stark subversion of that can sometimes elevate a movie beyond maybe what it should be. And I'm thinking of like Cronenberg does it a lot. Julia Ducournau has been doing it to me a lot, like with her two movies that I've seen. Like, I just never know what the fuck's about to happen. And I kind of love that, even though I'm equal parts confused.
Is that the Titan?
Yeah, Titan. And then before that, Raw. Like when you're watching Titan, you're not like, oh, I know where this is going. You know,
she's going to love that car.
Yeah, she's going to have sex with the car as they do. Same old trope. You know, so it's just like, at least you're surprised.
Christine, right? Did it first.
So when I'm watching Nope, and I thought I knew from the second trailer, like kind of where it was going. And then I'm realizing I'm spending half the movie trying to figure out what it's saying. And I think you could argue that that's not good, right? But for me, I like to work sometimes, and I really enjoy, like, I can feel that there's something here, and I think it's going to take me 4 or 5 watches to fully grasp it. And I love that. Like, this is awesome. This is elevated to me. I like this feeling. I'm having fun puzzling this out. And what's good about Jordan Peele, though, is it's much more accessible than David Lynch or Cronenberg, in the sense that, like, even if you're not worried about all of that, you know, it's loud, it's pretty, and it, you know, there's interesting stuff happening to carry you through that, even if you don't care. I know that was a long way around saying I had a great fucking time. I might have been a little too quick on the 5-star button. I'm willing to admit that. And I'm going to leave it until I see it again. But I definitely had a blast. And, you know, just Steve and I's conversation walking out. Did you see it by yourself both times, Sydney?
Nope. I saw it with two.
Nope.
I saw it with two of my friends who actually aren't very into film. The first time, one of them loved it. One of them hated it, which was really interesting.
Oh, that's
and
a good
this
mix.
morning, I did see it alone.
Cause Steve, like he said, he's a huge fan of this shit. And so I feel like the conversation Steve and I had in the parking lot took that from a 4-star to a 5 to me.
Right.
Like, yeah, man. Like we were, like, there was no J's being passed or anything, but that's kind of what it felt like. Yeah, man. And then, how do you feel, Sydney? What do you feel about, the movie Signs, M. Night Shyamalan?
I love Signs.
Really?
Oh my gosh. I think it's pretty much perfect. It's my second favorite. I mean, M. Night Shyamalan he's not my favorite. He's probably my second favorite director, but, I adore him, and it's probably my second favorite movie from him.
What's your number one favorite movie of his?
It is actually The Village.
Oh, interesting. Okay.
But why do you ask?
Well, number one, Steve, like Signs is his favorite horror film of all time.
Oh wow, yeah,
he's very highly esteemed in his mind. But also, I think it's a relevant question, or at least I thought it was, because I felt like this movie reminds me a lot of Signs. You know, like a lot of it is objectively works really, really well, but it's at the same time where it goes is not for everybody, right? Mm-hmm. And I think you could say that right about Signs. And so Nope just reminded me of that, not in its filmmaking techniques, but in its like aesthetic kind of, you know? So my theory was that Sydney hated Signs. So I was way off.
Well, that's so interesting because, I think my biggest issue with the film is how heavily it's paying tribute to those movies, because I love, you know, Jaws, Signs, Close Encounters, because think so highly of those films, it was almost distracting how similar it was and how direct the tribute was to it, which is also the reason that so many people are loving it. They're like, oh my God, this is like, it's so Spielbergian. It's this feels just like Signs, like stuff like that. And yeah, he was definitely doing a lot of that here. Jordan Peele definitely loves movies.
Yeah, no, for sure. For sure. Well, let's get into it just so we don't have to be as careful. We can just be free like little birdies. If you have not seen Nope, Jordan Peele's third film, please go away right now.
You are entering spoiler territory.
You're bullshit.
That's our spoiler bumper, Sydney.
Yeah, that's not.
Okay. I was like,
that's not to you.
No,
it's that's a Stranger Things
that's
clip.
Natalia Dyer from Stranger Things saying bullshit, bullshit, bullshit.
Bullshit, bullshit, bullshit. So Sydney, take it away. What did you, I love your commitment that you went to see it a second time just to kind of make sure or get more clarity on what specifically you didn't like about the film. I don't think anybody but a true film nerd would do that. Like, let me go just see what I didn't like about this, you know, and I respect that. Mm-hmm. I feel that. So lay it on us. Your second viewing, you came to some clarity about what you didn't like. What was it?
Yeah, I definitely was able to kind of nail down what didn't work for me. And because I didn't want to speak too confidently, because it's like, I don't want to act like I can watch that movie in one sitting and understand it. Because there is so much going on there. So much thematically that he's getting at, and lots of different interweaving like narrative points that all have a lot of meaning. And I think.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
I don't know. It's really, really tricky because there is so much going on. But it is a behemoth of a film, and I think that it just didn't work for me as a cohesive. I didn't think it was very cohesive, even though I thought what he was getting at was so interesting. And I do think a lot of it. Okay, I just wrote my Letterboxd review this morning. I'm totally struggling to explain this, but I think what I came down to is that I was distracted by how intentional the film was. Like, I was aware of what Jordan Peele was trying to do, that I couldn't let myself kind of just get lost in like the mystery and like the more thrilling aspect of it. And so I never felt totally immersed in the film. As Stephen brought up, there are a couple of sequences in here that are like absolutely disturbing and terrifying. And I loved that aspect of the movie. But the more standard plot of just like the alien invasion, I never thought was very compelling. And I don't know if this is making any sense right now.
No, it is.
Yeah. And I think what you kind of talked about a little bit ago about the film not having perfect cohesion, I think that's a very fair criticism, because one of the criticisms I have of the movie is there is a little bit of a disconnect with some of the plots. Like, from the movie wants to go from A to B, and they don't quite, or maybe they want to go to C, but they don't go to B first, is what I'm trying to say. Mm-hmm. So for instance, like, a big part of the movie is, you know, there's this, we think it's a spaceship, it's really an alien, right? And Steven Yeun's character has been feeding it for 6 months, hoping it to like start making a profit off of this. And he's got like a bunch of, you know, employees that work for him that he's bought suits to look like aliens, and because he's going to start marketing this shit. But they never quite make that point until it just flat out tells you halfway through the movie, this is what's happening. So when it does happen, it's like, oh, I'm confused. Like there's the scene that really scared me where his employees are dressed up like aliens and they go into the barn and they fuck with him for a little bit. And the movie ends with, or that scene ends with one of them taking off the alien mask after they get punched. And my first thought was like, who is that? I don't know who that is because they don't establish who that person is. So when he's like, oh, that's so-and-so's employees, like, what?
Yeah, I didn't know who Jupiter was. I didn't know that it was the Steven Yeun we just met.
Yeah, and then of course, when it reveals that he's been feeding the alien the whole time, it was like, oh, that's why he's been using... I don't know, there was just a weird... They didn't quite land that connection. So when those reveals happened, they didn't quite feel earned. And I think that kind of speaks to the cohesion part.
Yeah.
Right.
I just feel like there's a lot to dive into. And I got ripped apart by a few people for saying this, but I like, at the very least, that the fact that this kind of conversation can happen means that there's something of above average merit to a film. You know what I mean? Like when it gets people to argue or talk about like this, I think that's what we need. And not every film does that. Like you watch like a, I don't know, like nobody's sitting for hours talking about Transformers. It's like, yeah, it was fucking cool, man. He was like, more than meets the eye. Like it was dope.
Do you guys really think the Decepticons were the bad guys?
Yeah, right. Like, I guess you could have a think piece, I guess, but like, there's so much to pick apart. I think, and when I was working out, like the main theme to me seemed to be like the grossness of our society's tendency to like commodify trauma and tragedies. Because you have the Steven Yeun's character, Jupiter, he was the child actor that watched everybody get mauled by the chimpanzee that was on set, right?
Who saw that coming, by the way?
Yeah, nobody.
Big part of the plot has to deal with the chimpanzee going crazy and killing a bunch of people.
But it's all just backstory to explain his thinking about how to commodify the alien invasion, right? Because... he has turned his ranch into a theme park for the worst thing that's ever happened to him in his life. And he like rents it out for people to have sex in that room with all the other memorabilia and stuff. Right. Like it's all commentary on how people love this shit. And I think I'm not positive, but I think Daniel Kaluuya's character being named OJ. And there's even like a joke in the first act of the movie about that. Like the white lady's like, ugh, right. I think it's on purpose that he's like a callback to OJ Simpson, because like that whole scenario of OJ potentially murdering his wife, like that became something everybody was obsessed with, right? Like, this is amazing. This is great entertainment. And he's saying, this is fucking weird and gross that we do this, isn't it? Right. And then the motorcycle guy that comes up from TMZ, like it's all, I haven't put it all together obviously because I'm stumbling. Right. But I think that's the main thrust of the film is like, you're weird and you should feel weird and you should look at this, you know what I mean? Like that we as a society do this constantly. And we even do it to ourselves from the Steven Yeun's character. Right. And I just, that's when I started like somewhere around the middle of the third act. Like right before it ended, you know what I mean? I started kind of like clicking everything. And that's when I was like, and I love this. I don't even care where it goes, which, cause it doesn't go anywhere. Super satisfying. I think the resolution there at the ending with the giant versus big boy guy, was a little strange. I don't think it was set up perfectly to understand why he was so vulnerable. And that's the thing. And I know I'm droning on way too long, but it's like, there's a lot you can pick apart about like the science of this film and the way that things are set up as far as the biology of this creature and why would it be so invincible to everything else, but so vulnerable to something as simple as a giant balloon. Right. And are we supposed to believe that he drives around sucking everything up, but hasn't gotten another large balloon before ever, you know, or he just like take a whole barn or house out.
The balloon was a big person.
Yeah, but I'm saying like he's already sucked like a bunch of houses and barns and horses and saddles and couches and rakes. But
oh, he didn't want those. He spat them out.
Spat them back out. But are you saying he swallowed? Wait. So are you saying he swallowed the balloon? This sounds so weird to talk about. He swallowed the balloon deeper because he thought it was a person than he would have, couch.
It was looking at him and it was like, oh, I got to eat you because you're looking at me. Uh-huh. It had a face.
Well, it wouldn't. No, go ahead.
What were you saying, Cindy?
I was going to say, that was the only way it could have been a Jaws reference. It's if there's something big that was going to explode.
True.
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't even catch like the barrel allusion. I just was thinking of the Shark in Sky reference to Jaws, but the very end is the same as Jaws. Nice. So you,
I know.
So instead of getting that satisfying, oh, this is Jaws, oh, this is Signs, you were thinking, this is bullshit. That's Jaws and that's Signs, right? You had the opposite reaction to those feelings.
Yes, which is so, I know it sucks. Like, I wish I could make the decision to have not had that experience with it. But I think what you said is, like, earlier is kind of at the core of, like, how different people are going to react to this is how you said there is merit to having all of this going on in the first place, which is something that I struggle with a lot when, like, thinking about or evaluating film. Like, I see it as a whole. The separation between what I know is going on and how I feel while I'm actually watching it. And I think it was so ambitious that that was arguably what the issue was for me. And so it is kind of like the opposite experience of I walked out of it being like, I know there's so much to talk about here, but it doesn't really matter if it was just so many ideas and a hodgepodge of like, I mean, I personally feel like a lot of the film just comes across as a little bit incoherent. Mm-hmm. And I guess it is just that dichotomy between the experience and the idea, because it is so interesting. And I think it's such an important commentary on how we commodify trauma and we commodify spectacle is genius. It's like, who even comes up with that? Like, there's so much he's threading through here that I don't think I've ever seen in a movie before. But yeah, it was kind of, I did find the references almost distracting when it came to just watching it as like a blockbuster, as like a thriller. It prevented me from actually being like fully immersed in the film, I think.
Sure. Stuff like that can be distracting and take away from the experience for sure.
And I read your review on Letterboxd, and I like, you know, the way that you said it, like, hey, I'm trying to force myself to like enjoy these things that I'm saying, right? I know the same things that I hate, everyone else is loving. And that even that in itself is frustrating me.
Sure.
And I understand what that feels like. And I know that you go in wanting to like a film. That's why I like your work. And I, you know, connect with you as a creator. Cause that's how I am. Like, I never go in wanting to not like a film. I think that's the dumbest thing ever. Like, why would you not want to have fun?
I hate watch this.
It's like going into a party, like this party's going to fucking suck, you know, like,
yeah,
then don't go. That's a weird feeling to have, right?
Very weird. So I liked one aspect that I love movies that do when you leave the movie theater, it gives you stuff to discuss. Like maybe the ending is either ambiguous or maybe the themes, you can really kind of chew on the meaning of what the scenes were. Like I love Blade Runner. I love, you know, any movie like that, that kind of leaves the audience, you can discuss and like, I think this happened. Well, I think this happened and no one's wrong. Right. Cause it just depends on how you interpret things.
Right. Or the ending of The Thing is a perfect example.
The ending of The Thing. Like,
that's
right.
Everybody thinks that's so fun because everybody has their own opinion on what even happened.
Right.
And I think that it's a very fine line to pull that off, because otherwise you're just pissing people off.
Yeah.
Like for instance, I'm not a fan of David Lynch. So I understand what I think Sydney's saying perfectly. Like I don't like any of his movies. And a lot of people tell me, I don't want to make a voice and make fun of him, but I'm going to. Like, you're not supposed to get it. Like, it doesn't mean anything. That's the whole thing, is he's like rebelling against the system. And I'm like, that's fucking dumb. What do you mean? I'm not supposed to get it. Like that upsets me. Now I don't like you either, you know?
One of the things I took away from this movie, because I think, Chris, we had a discussion about the commodification of trauma. I think this movie also has a lot to say about the Hollywood industry in and of itself.
That's what I haven't fully grasped, what he's trying to say. Because obviously he is, right? Because there's the Hollywood horses, there's the cinematographer, and there's the child actors. But I haven't put them all together.
Well, I mean, literally the UFO creature, uh-huh, right, which is a the big UFO, no matter what you say, it can be like a big iconography of cinema. Like that's a very cinematic looking UFO, the flying saucer.
Some people said it looks like a sombrero in the sky.
It's literally sucking people up and shitting them out. Mm-hmm. Kind of like how the industry does to a lot of people. It'll suck you in, use you for what it needs, and then it'll shit you out without having any regard for you as a person. And this movie, and that, I think that's illustrated in the way that they treat Keke Palmer and Daniel Kaluuya's character,
OJ.
OJ, yeah, it's how exactly how they treat them. Like their father pass away, and now they're just kind of like, well, we don't like them as much. We liked his dad. We don't need you anymore. We're not going to help you because we don't actually like really care about you and your human suffering of going through losing a father figure, right? And like they keep flashing back to his dad and saying stuff like, you have to really respect the predator. And I think there's a lot of predators in Hollywood. In fact, like
definitely.
In fact, the TMZ guy at the end. When he shows up, they're like, oh, there's a guy there. And when I saw the trailer, I thought that was supposed to be like a police officer, just because the way it reminded me of like a THX-1138 helmet, like one of those dudes. From
yeah, the mirror helmet throws me off.
And so I assumed that was going to be like a police officer showing up to bust him. But no, for them, it's even worse. It's a TMZ reporter, the only law in Hollywood, right?
Yeah, right.
It's all about like what they see. And they're almost like the police of the industry, which is such a weird but true kind of statement in a weird way. And there's other examples that I'm blanking on right now. But like, and the cinematographer. Actually, I was telling Chris when we left the movie, there's a couple jokes in this movie I'm not sure if people who aren't in the industry are going to get. Because at one point, the cinematographer's like, man, we can film this during golden hour. It's going to be really great. And then right before he dies, the reason he dies is he literally is going to die for his art because he wants to get an even better shot at golden hour.
Yeah, they already got the footage they need, but now the...
He's like, sun's coming down in an hour. I'm going to go on the top of the hill. So he literally is dying for his art. And it's just, to some people that I think that could come across as like, well, that doesn't make sense.
What do you
think? That's a dumb, why did he do that? But as I know people like that who are like, I got to get the shot.
Do you think Jordan Peele was elevating that person and saying like, this is a noble thing? Or do you think he was like, what a douchebag?
I think it's.
Because I couldn't tell.
It can be both. I think it's like. He's raising up like this guy is willing to die for his art, but ultimately that's kind of silly. Mm-hmm. You know, you can respect someone who's willing to do that and loves the craft enough, but at what cost? Like, what does it mean? He literally got sucked up by the system and it's just going to shit him out regardless, you know?
Sure. Ooh, yeah.
So yeah, I think that there are so many different motivations going on and at Climax for like why they want the shot and how they're also so desperate to get it. And I think that was really interesting. Like, the TMZ guy comes along and his helmet is reflective, and there's all these, you know, motifs with like the horse getting its own reflection and looking in the creature's eyes. And I think it was Daniel Kaluuya who kind of sees his reflection in the helmet. And he's like, don't you want to be somebody? Like telling him that he needs to get the shot and stuff. And I think that the cinematographer getting sucked up, I think is definitely like a further commentary on just that greed and like what everyone is willing to sacrifice just to make it. And it's just going to end up shitting you out in the end anyways.
Yeah. And it also speaks to how like all these big budget Hollywood films in general, the real heroes are the people who no one knows their names. Like Daniel Kaluuya in the climax of the movie is literally riding around in a Scorpion King crew hoodie.
Yeah.
You know, like,
and that's on purpose,
yeah.
You know, because the mm-hmm. shittiest movie he could think of to include in this movie. Right.
But yeah, like we often don't know the names of the hundreds of people that literally work incredibly hard to get movies made. And mm-hmm. I think we mm-hmm. only know the cinematographer, the director, or the star.
Hoyt van Hoytema. Can't forget that name.
But yeah.
No, I love the way you're talking about it. It's making me, that's how I got this extra star, Sydney, is having this conversation out in the parking lot, right? And because ultimately I was thrilled, like, were you not scared of the sombrero sucking him up? And like, it was.
No.
Really? You weren't like, oh my God.
What Sydney, no, what did you think of the funhouse digestive track?
Okay. Where it sucked everyone up? Fucking terrifying. That was really just like the claustrophobia of it and how everyone, it's like, yeah, that was really, really scary.
And then like the rain of blood on the house where eventually, I guess they get to a crunchy spot.
yeah, that was good. And I think that like, I think someone mentioned it earlier that I would have loved if it went way deeper into any one of these individual things going on. Like the monkey thing. And I think that what's going on with Steven Yeun's character was so interesting because it's mm-hmm. his cycle of like, he was the one being exploited when he was a child, being a child actor, and the monkey didn't kill him because, I don't know. I mean, it's like all the dynamics and
the monkey industry, is
but he ends up
also being exploited.
Yes. And that's why it acts out. And then, but he goes on to just do the same thing anyways. And then eventually he meets his demise. And there was something I wanted to ask you guys that's a little more tangible than me just saying, like, I didn't have a good time. But I think a lot of people are having issues connecting with it because of the character work. And I was going to ask if you guys felt like you really sympathized with the characters, or you felt connected to, like, why, like, their response to all these events. Because I didn't feel particularly connected to them, even though I love the performances. So
in regards to, like, Emerald and OJ, like the Kiki Palmer and Daniel Kaluuya.
Yeah.
I love their characters. I thought their dynamic was awesome because she's almost lightweight annoying, right? Like, she's over the top, but in a way that's charming. And especially in relation to Daniel Kaluuya's character, because OJ is just very reserved and hesitant and shy, but in a way that's also charming because he has little smirks and tiny jokes when he's comfortable around his sister, or like when he's in the barn and the part that terrified Steve, when he's just like, nope,
nope, nope. Title of the movie. Like,
our theater erupted in laughter because that's funny, right?
Jordan Peele likes to name his movies based off what the audience reactions to them would be.
Yeah. I absolutely did identify with him. I thought I was rooting for him for sure. I was spending a lot of time, a lot of mental space watching this film, trying to work out the stuff that we're talking about now. And I do think that they're, like, you could argue that's fine that you think that that's there, but I don't think he pulled it off. And I think both things are correct. I could see how it's very valid that, you know, that's a great ambition that he had, but it didn't quite pull it off. But like the monkey, because I think the animals play into what Steve was talking about earlier, is the people that get chewed up and spit out, right?
Yeah, and I don't think there's any coincidence that the movie's broken up in chapters named after the specific horses and then the monkey as well.
But his production company is called Monkey Paw Productions.
Yeah.
I just wanted to say that. And there's a scene right before the monkey gets shot. It's the monkey giving nucks to the little kid.
Yeah.
And it zooms in on the monkey's paw, and then the monkey gets shot. So I think what he's saying is, they're doing this to me. They're holding me up. They're calling me a genius. It's all fucking fake. They're going to shoot me in the head as soon as they can't make another dollar off of me.
That's a good point.
And I love that about this movie, because he's the cinematographer says at one point on the phone something about, like, the dream of being on the top of the hill and everybody looking up at you is one you can never wake up from. And I'm getting chills now, right? Because he's the top now, right? Like, everybody's like, Jordan Peele's such a genius. And I think he's saying, fuck all of you. This is bullshit. Like, you don't love me. You don't respect me. You're just using me. And I know it. You're never going to get me because I know it, right? And I think that that's cool. I think that that's fucking cool. But go ahead, Steve. I'm sorry. I just wanted to get that out.
I did want to, like, go back to the monkey and young Steven Yeun's character.
Back to the monkey. Nux, yeah.
The first exploding fist.
Yeah, monkey nux. Guys knew that.
But I love that. That's such an important part to that character's story, because he's scared, you know, this predator that they tried to tame cannot be tamed. So it, like, lashes out and kills everybody. It does not kill him. It still gives him the nux. And I think that is such a motivating factor for that character, why he thinks he's the one who can tame the UFO creature. Like, I had a special connection with this quote unquote predator. Mm-hmm. And I really like that backstory, to almost to the point, like, I think I told Chris when we left the movie, like, I kind of just want a movie about that.
Oh, yeah, like the monkey slaughter set would have been a great movie. And I think Sydney would have loved that.
How would it affect that character? he meets his fun cowboy wife, and they decide to have a fun cowboy theme park. I would love to watch that movie.
Yeah, for sure. We could get some good spinoffs here. No, but I totally understand where you're coming from, Sydney. Like, when you feel like you're taking crazy pills in, like, your creator community, it's the worst. Like, for instance, and I don't even speak this out loud a lot. I don't really care to say I'm not a big fan of Lynch, because I think even Lynch fans are like, yeah, good. He's mine because I'm smart.
We don't want you. Yeah,
but I really don't. I rarely connect with Sam Raimi. And I know that you're a huge Raimi fan. I know. I know. And so, like, and that hurts me. It hurts. You know, I'm frustrated because I'm watching Evil Dead, like, I don't think he meant this to be funny. You know what I mean?
I think you're all making jokes.
Yeah, I think he just failed to make it scary. And yeah, it's funny now, but the tree's doing, I don't like what the tree's doing.
Oh my God, that's too funny.
I don't like this, you know? And that's how I feel.
I didn't love the first Evil Dead either.
Yes.
If that makes you feel better.
It does make me feel a little better. And I like the quick and the dead. I like all the movies from Raimi that people don't like. But what I'm getting to with this is like when you're talking about it with other, you know, film fans that you admire and that you respect, that you typically have an accord with, you kind of feel like, damn, wait, should I watch it again? You know, and sometimes it's okay. Right. Just not for me.
Yeah. It's a subjective art form, you know, and not everything exactly is going to appeal to everybody. And that's part of the beauty of it. We can like talk to each other about why I liked, because Sydney might love a movie that I don't, but her perspective on it will give me like an interest. Oh, I didn't think of it that way. That's a really cool way of thinking. I don't agree necessarily, but I think that's a very interesting point of view.
Absolutely.
Right.
I mean, the movie's batshit and doesn't make a whole lot of sense as far as like what the creature is. How did the creature get there? Like, I understand what everybody's saying. I just think sometimes
why
people
is it a jellyfish now?
You're right. Like, yeah. Well, somebody texted me from TikTok and was like, I think it's supposed to be another biblical reference because like biblically,
oh, like an angel?
Angels are supposed to be like giant, crazy apparati in actuality in the Bible, not like human looking things. Mm-hmm. And I was like, that's fair, actually. And
he does have that line, like, is there a word for a bad miracle? So I guess that's
such a good line.
Well, but wait. That's so interesting because it opens up with that, yeah, that biblical, and then the tech guy's name is Angel.
Oh shit.
I was gonna say, like, I'm wondering if the shape of the alien is like a reference to some sort of creature design or something, but yeah, an angel makes a lot more sense.
I forgot the guy's name was Angel. That's 100%.
Yeah.
See? And the quote at the beginning is, I will pelt you with filth and treat you with contempt. I will make a spectacle of you.
Right.
Yeah. So I don't know. I think there's a lot there, but are there any last thoughts that you want to impart on Nope?
I was about to say Nope again.
I know. I set you up for it. I was teeing you up.
The answer is actually, yep. I mean, with something like this, it's such a huge fucking swing from Peele, and I respect that. And I appreciate that. I loved hearing your thoughts on it. I haven't actually really spoken out loud to people about the film, just been like messaging about it, but it definitely, my watch this morning confirmed that I love the idea and everything that he's saying with the film. I just didn't enjoy watching it. Like, sometimes that's kind of all there is to it. And it's a huge, huge bummer, but that's what film is. Like you said, it's subjective, and there are going to be a lot of people who probably won't love this.
I totally get it.
Art.
When I walked out of Green Knight, I was wanting to love that movie so much. I've been looking forward to it all year because that came out in August, if I remember correctly. So like all year, I'm just really, really, really looking forward to this film. And I loved the last 2 minutes so much, but I was actually infuriated at the first hour and 40 minutes. Like, you can ask Steve, like when I was walking down the stairs, I was literally like cussing and stuff. I was angry because I wanted so bad to think it was the best thing ever. And a lot of my friends to this day think it is the best thing ever. And it makes me sad. So I know where you're coming from. Like, I'm like, I fucking want to love Green Knight. I'm jealous, yeah. You know, I want to like Green Knight.
I didn't love the Green Knight that much either, but I know it's like, wouldn't it be so much more fun if I could just come
here
and be like, yeah, this movie's great.
But I was pissed.
He was rip shit.
I know, it's those feelings. It's almost like, it's like heartbreaking. You're like, damn it.
Yeah.
Like, there's nothing I can do about this. I just didn't like the movie.
But it's also possible because I've experienced this many times before where like, I might watch Green Knight, you know, in 2030, if we live that long, and think it's the best movie I've ever seen and just be in a different headspace or have a different life experience to compare it to. Or because that's why I hate when people say like a movie's trash, even though you want to sometimes. Right. But it's like the toughest thing to say, because you don't know if you have a headache. You don't know if you were having a bad day. You don't know if you just, you know, there's a thousand things that are like wrong with me that might be hindering me from enjoying the movie. But also it could just be the movie. So it's hard to tell, man. It's hard to tell. Sometimes they fucking suck, you know, that's for sure. So anyway, but thank you so much for coming on the show. I'm not going to let you go without doing a Mad Lib though.
Oh, perfect.
Are you ready to do this Mad Lib with us, Sydney?
I'm ready.
Well, this Mad Lib we're doing is titled Beta to the Max.
Oh, okay.
First up, this might be hard, so feel free to use a poster or a photo in your place, but I need a person in the room.
Carl.
Old Carl.
Old Carl.
I need a silly word.
A boing.
Oh, boing.
Boing.
No, not boing.
Sorry, sorry. I need a plural noun.
Houses.
Verb.
Eat.
Number.
4.
Noun.
Box. B-O-X.
Okay. Noun.
Action figure.
They're action figures, Mom.
Not dolls.
I need another person in the room.
John Carpenter. Staring at my thing poster.
Oh, John, I said hi.
Is he your roommate? That's so cool. vehicle.
Audi.
Noun.
Shoe.
Number.
5.
A verb ending in ing.
Raking.
Raking in those bucks.
Raking in the dough.
Number.
7.
Type of food.
Sushi.
Yum.
My favorite food.
I love sushi.
Noun.
Curtain.
Verb.
Throw.
Throw?
Sure.
Is that what you said?
Yes.
Okay. The way you said sure was like, oh, wait, was that not it?
Sure. Whatever you want.
And last but not least, I need a number.
1072.
All right, are you guys ready to hear what story you crafted for Beta to the Max?
Yes.
I'm nervous, but yeah.
All right, here we go. Come on down to Carl's Discount Electronics this Sunday for the best deals this side of the Boing River. We have fax houses. We have Betamax. You want it? We eat it. Check out this state-of-the-art VCR for only $4. Watch movies from the comfort of your very own box. And take a look at this answering action figure for your phone. You'll never miss a message from dear old Aunt John Carpenter again. And speaking of phones, why not put one in your car or your van or your Audi? Better yet, take your phone on the go with a cellular shoe. Now 5% off. But that's not all. This Sunday only, we're raking home computers for half price. You know, you rake a computer.
Yeah.
Weighing in at only 57 pounds, 7 ounces, this lightweight machine makes your parents' abacus look like chopped sushi. Kind of makes sense.
Yeah, that's a good one.
Don't
love it, yeah.
Don't miss this once-in-a-curtain opportunity to invest in your future. So throw your calendars for this Sunday. Lucky customer number 1072 receives a free beeper.
Dang. Good job,
wow.
Sydney.
Thanks.
You might be the most natural Mad Libber we've ever had on the show.
Yeah, you were just spitting them out so fast.
Just looking around at what's in the room.
The sheer confidence. But anywho, Sol, I loved having you on. You're awesome to talk to. I love your content. Everybody listening, go follow Sydney at Sydney Volpe on TikTok, at Sid the Kid on Twitter. She's got a YouTube. There's links to everything and the other things. Definitely check out her stuff because she's awesome.
Are there any plugs you have that you want to throw out, Sydney?
No, that's pretty much it. If you go to my TikTok or Twitter, yeah, all my links are there. And just want to say thank you guys for having me on. I am looking at the movie differently now, and it was awesome to, it was a good, really good movie to be talking about some deeper stuff. So that was awesome.
No, yeah, like I said, I love talking to you about movies. I think you're awesome, and I'm glad that you came. I really, really appreciate it. We were lucky to have you. You have a wonderful day, and hopefully you'll be willing to come back soon because we do these a few times a week, and we liked having you on.
I'd love to.
That was such a fun talk, Steve, don't you think?
Absolutely. She was so pleasant to talk to.
Such a pleasant person. A big fan of hers on the TikToks and the Twitters. You guys should definitely follow her again. It's at Sydney Volpe, at Sid the Kid on Twitter. Really knowledgeable, fun person who really enjoys TV and movies like we all do, right? So I think she would be your friend, just like you are my friend. That's what my thoughts are.
Everyone who can hear the sound of my voice is my friend.
That's how I feel.
Yeah.
And I'm not as lonely as I used to be.
Oh, that's good.
Don't you think so, buddy? Don't you think so? Except randomly so. When the brain chemicals kind of flee and then all of a sudden I'm like, eh, it's all pointless. But that's okay. I just let that pass. Sit real still.
Yeah. sit real still and just let depression crash over you like waves on a cliff.
Laughed at my own joke. 1 star. But yeah, very, very grateful to Sydney. She'll be back on very soon. We're already making plans for that. And I'm grateful for all of you listeners for listening to us talk about Nope. I hope you enjoyed the film, but at the very least, I hope you enjoyed the conversation. And until next time, that's all the time we have for right now. My name is Chris.
And I'm Steve.
And Andy's not here and Sydney's gone. And this is Streaming Things.
Happy streaming. Okay, it's time to thank the patrons. We're going to do this one a little quick and dirty. First up, let's do the A's. Am I right? Let's do A. Thank you, A. Wells. Thank you, Double A, Aaron A, Double R, Aaron A, Aaron B, Aaron K, Aaron L, Adam C, Adam R, Amanda, Amelia, Andrew G, Andrew G, Andrew P, and D, and Annie H, Arcade Shenanigans, Ariana, and Ashley. Thank you to all the A names. Now on to the B's, like Brandon. Thank you, Brandon. Thank you, Brianna, Brenda, Brittany. Those are the B's.
Soup to nuts.
Soup to nuts. Those were the B's. Let's do the C's. Thank you, Cake. Thank you, Cake.
Thank you, Cake.
Thank you, Caleb, Carlo, Carmelita, Casey H, Casey M, Katarina, Chloe, Cindy, and Cody. Thank you so much, guys. Time for those D's. Thank you, Damien, Danielle, David, and DC Hart. I wonder what the DC stands for. What do you think that stands for?
District of Columbia.
Hart. Now for the E's. Of course, you have to begin the E's with E. Lopez themselves. Thank you, Emily, Enza, Erica, and Irvin. Thank you guys so much. We got two G's, two real life G's, Chris, and that is Gavin and Glenn.
GG's.
GG's. GG, guys. GG. Thank you. But there are GG's. I like this.
Yeah.
I like this. We also have two H's, Hannah and Heath. Thank you both. Thank you both so much. I don't know if like that's actually their real name is Heath or they just did that to like get in on the joke.
I think it is. And we're just being like just harping on the Heath.
Well, if that's the case, I'm sorry. I feel bad now. Thank you so much, Heath, for putting up with our bullshit. Thank you, Irene. You know, the single solitary eye name, standing strong.
We need more eyes.
But we know what we do got a lot of. Bunch of J's. So thank you.
Oh, hell yeah, man.
Argyle, he heard Jay. He likes that. Thank you, Jocelyn, Jacob, Jade, Jake, Jared, Jeanette, AJ, Jenny, Jennifer, Jessica, Jimmy, Joel A, Joel T, both John M's. There are two John M patrons. John R, thank you. Jordan, Josh, Jungle, and thank you, Jadinklage. I think that's how I pronounce that.
Yeah, for sure.
Jadinklage, is that how you would say that?
Yeah.
If that's totally wrong, Jadinklage, you write and let me know, and I will correct that. Now it's time for the K's. Thank you, Kalisha. This is one thing. So, Kalisha, I want to give you a personal apology. When I wrote your name down in the list forever ago, I wrote you down as Alicia. So I've been saying Alicia for like 2 months, and that's on me because I didn't know I spelt your name wrong. So thank you, Kalisha. Thank you, Candace, Kate, Katharina, Katie B, Katie M, Kayla, Kelsey, Carrie, Kevin, Kiki, Kimberly, Kristen, and Kyle. Those were the K's. Now it's time for the L's, but there's nothing L about these people. These people are true
W's.
W's. Yeah. Lady Pris. Thank you, Lady Pris. Lauren, Lee, Lisa. Thank you all so much. Moving on to the M's, we've got Marcelina, Marcus, Maria, Matt, Melina, Melissa, Mels, Michael, Michelle, Mike, Mindy, MJ, and Monique. Thank you all so much. And you can't do the M's without doing the N's. Am I right? We got Nick. We've got two. Count them, Chris. Two Nicole C's. One and two. Nicole
one.
Nicole C one and Nicole C
two. I'm counting. You're messing me up.
Oh, sorry. Two. Nicole C.
Okay, I got it.
All right, got it. All right. Now, next up is Orion. He's the only O we got, but, you know, that's a pretty great name, Orion. Next up is the P's. We got Paola, Phil, Patty. Thank you guys so much. The R's are next. In that category, we have Rachel, Reese, the Reed family, Rose, and Ryan. Thank you all so much. Moving on to the S names. Thank you to Samantha, Sandra. Sandra A, Sarah F, Sarah P, Savannah, Sean, Sergio, Shay, Stephanie, Stephen the Fifth, and Sydney. Thank you all so much. We got the T's now. Thank you, Tamara, Tara, Thomas J, Thomas V, Thumbs, Toby, Tori, and Tyler. And then rounding out the end of the list, the end of that alphabet, we got Will, Yolanda, and Zach. Thank you guys so much. Thanks you to all the patrons for helping keep the lights on over here at Stream and Things.
Truly, truly grateful. No joke whatsoever.
We love you.
Boom.
Bye.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/trip for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And is all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.